invite you to remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. It comes from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and say, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Recently, I was at Target in the always long self-checkout line, and there was a girl who looked to be about 5 or 6 with her mom in front of me. And then behind me comes a boy, also about 5 or 6, with his mom. The boy gets really excited and starts practically shouting, "Zoe, Zoe." He points to the little girl and says, "Hi, Zoe." And then he tells his mom, "That's Zoe from my class at school." Zoe, meanwhile, looks horrified that this boy is calling her name in the Target line. She tries to hide behind her mom. Zoe's mom tries to get her to at least wave at the boy. The boy's mom, sensing this is all a little much for Zoe, tries to tell him that Zoe is feeling shy today and maybe doesn't want to talk. The boy, however, is not deterred from his mission. He just keeps yelling at Zoe. Then he turns to his mom and asks, "How did Zoe from my class get to Target?" His mom says, "Well, her mom brought her here." This is all too much for the boy to comprehend, kind of like seeing your teacher outside of school. And now he's just yelling to the whole line, "I can't believe Zoe from my class is here at Target. How could that happen?" It was the perfect picture of what happens when the most extroverted kid in the class encounters the most introverted kid in the class. It was also an encounter that came to my mind when I read this scripture this week. I could picture Jesus being just like that boy in the store, yelling out to Zacchaeus, while Zacchaeus hides up in his tree. After all, we're told that Zacchaeus just wanted to look at Jesus. He didn't set out to talk to him. He didn't want to spend time with him. He didn't set out to have his life changed by him. Yet, of course, all that is what happened. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. We have to go back to the beginning of this story. Now, despite being one of the more well-known stories of Jesus, mostly due to the "Zacchaeus was a wee little man" song many of us learned in Sunday school, there's a lot going on in this story. The story begins with Jesus passing through Jericho. We don't know this at the time, but if we would continue to read the Gospel of Luke, we would find out that he's passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. This is actually one of the last public encounters of Jesus' ministry. Since we're nearing the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, we can assume that he was well known at the time. So Zacchaeus has probably heard about Jesus. And we know that he is at least somewhat interested in seeing him. And we know that that Zacchaeus is a tax collector and that he's rich. And we know that he's short. And so he wants to see Jesus, but nobody in the crowd will let him through, which is a clue that gives us another piece of information about Zacchaeus. People don't like him. If he was a short, well-respected man in the crowd most likely would have moved in order for him to be able to see. But that's not what happens. Instead, he runs ahead of the crowd and climbs a tree so that he can see Jesus. This move would be about as socially acceptable at that time as if today a rich professional adult man ran ahead of a crowd and climbed a tree to see what was going on, which is to say it was not socially acceptable. But then Jesus passes him by and stops and meets his level of social unacceptability because he starts yelling to him while he's up there in that tree. Just picture that. There's this crowd of people all wanting to see Jesus. And then there's Jesus stopping to shout at the man that they all hate who's climbed up into a tree. And remember, it doesn't seem like Zacchaeus set out to talk about Jesus or to spend time with Jesus or even to get noticed by Jesus at all. He was just feeling a little curious. And then all of a sudden, Jesus notices Zacchaeus, like a five-year-old boy at Target sees his friend from class, and he starts calling out to him with the same enthusiasm. And not only does Jesus call out to Zacchaeus, but he tells him that he's going to go to his house, completely uninvited, mind you. But something has happened to Zacchaeus since we started this story. Because the man who was just curious about seeing Jesus now hurries down from the tree and is happy to welcome him back to his house. So what changed? Well, Zacchaeus changed. His life was changed by Jesus. When Jesus noticed him up there in that tree, it changed him. But why? Well, I think it was Jesus's generosity towards Zacchaeus that changed him. Now, I know you might be thinking, well, Jesus didn't even give Zacchaeus anything. How was he being generous towards him? Well, Jesus was generous in his noticing of him, in his seeing of him, in his treatment of him when others had not been. And that generosity, it changes Zacchaeus, because he is now no longer the left out, despised, lost tax collector. Now he is the one who's hosting Jesus at his house. Now he is the one that Jesus has chosen. Now let's take a minute and pause the story here. We're going to get to the end, but first, this is an important point for us too. Jesus is generous towards us as well. Jesus is generous in noticing us. Jesus is generous in calling our names and calling out to us, especially when we are feeling left out or lonely or lost or forgotten or disliked or messed up. When Jesus passes by and we're in the tree just trying to see who Jesus is, Jesus stops and sees us. Truly sees us and sees what we need and offers that to us with great generosity. Jesus is always generous in offering his grace to us when we need another chance. Jesus is always generous in offering his love to us when we're feeling unloved. Jesus is always generous in offering his hope to us when we are in despair. Jesus is always generous in offering his peace to us when our lives are in turmoil. Jesus is always generous in claiming us as children of God, even when we don't feel like we belong anywhere. Because that's who Jesus is. And Jesus is especially generous to those who are most often left out in our world, those who are most often disregarded, those who are most often forgotten. And this generosity, when we receive it, it transforms us. And we see that as we pick up the rest of Zacchaeus' story. After Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, while Zacchaeus' life seems to have changed, the crowd around him has not changed. They grumble that Jesus is eating at the house of a sinner, which I guess they don't realize is the only option, because if Jesus was eating at their house, he would also be eating at the house of a sinner. And then Zacchaeus makes this pronouncement to Jesus, and maybe to the crowd, and proclaims that he's going to give half of his possessions to the poor and pay back four times as much to anybody he has defrauded. Being a tax collector at the time, if he was a good one, and we know he was a good one because we know he was rich, defrauding people was practically part of the job. You collected people's taxes to pay to Rome, and then you collected some money for yourself. And yet, Zacchaeus declares that all of that is over now. And then Jesus declares that today salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house, because he too is a son of Abraham. And then Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Now, to be clear, salvation doesn't come to Zacchaeus' house because he decided to give away his money. That's not how salvation works. It doesn't rely on our response. Instead, Zacchaeus decides to give away his money because salvation has come to his house. His life was changed by the generosity of Jesus, and now he wants, no, he needs to be generous towards others. And as those who have had our own lives changed by the generosity of Jesus, we will want to be generous towards others. We know what it's like to receive generosity. We know what it's like to be given the gift of generosity, especially at the moments when we feel like we least deserve it. And the generosity we receive from Jesus is truly life-changing. And once you're transformed by that generosity, you're going to want to offer it to other people. If you have received the gift of generous love, if you know what it's like to be loved even when you feel unworthy or unlovable, you will want others to experience that generosity of love too. If you've received the gift of generous grace, if you've been given a second chance that you don't deserve, if you've been welcomed back after you've turned away, you'll want others to experience the generosity of grace too. If you've received the gift of generous hope, if you've had light shine in the midst of your own darkness, you'll want others to experience the generosity of hope too. If you've received the gift of generous peace, if you've felt the tumultuous waters of your life be stilled, you'll want others to experience the generosity of peace too. So how do we offer that in our lives? Well, there are many ways that we can offer generosity towards others because our own lives have been transformed by the gift of generosity. As Halloween approaches tomorrow, if you live in an area that has trick-or-treaters, you can be extra generous with them, either by buying some really good candy or by being extra joyful and welcoming when a child shows up at your door. This is a perfect opportunity for us as Christians to be generous neighbors. And we can be generous in other ways too. We can be generous with our affirmations. Take time to give words of affirmation and appreciation to others. Write a note or send a text or pick up the phone and offer to somebody why they matter, why they are important to you, and why they are loved. We can be generous in our service. We can take time to be active in ministries here in our church, life-changing ones like we are seeing highlighted in the videos over the upcoming weeks. And like Zacchaeus, we can be generous with our money and with our resources to use what we have so that others can experience generosity. To give and to fill out pledge cards in a couple of weeks, not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we know what it's like to have our own lives changed by generosity. And we want others to be able to experience that as well. Zacchaeus starts off his day just curious about who Jesus is. But when Jesus passes by, everything changes. Jesus notices Zacchaeus. He is generous to him, and he changes his life. Jesus reaches out to him when so many others have left him out. Jesus offers love and belonging. This generosity, it changes Zacchaeus so that he wants to be generous towards others. The same is true for us. Jesus has been generous to us so that we can be generous towards others. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Christ. We thank you that Christ has been so generous to us, that he has given us gifts of love, grace, hope, and peace so generously when we need it the most. These gifts, they've changed our lives. And so, Lord, as those who have been transformed, guide us to be generous towards others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.